Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
Mike, you remember when The Rock used to go, "Finally, The Rock has come back," or whatever. That's how it felt when I was putting everything into the computer, because it was like, it's been such a long time, you know, that we've been on a regular Sunday doing the show. So luckily we're back. We'll talk a little bit about all that, why it's been so long and what's been going on, you know, putting efforts into the pro wrestling indie scene. But before we continue on, don't forget, for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBots Live with Fabi Chulo. Got my man Michael Parks here with us. You can go to WrestleBossLive.com if you want to check out some of the archives and stuff. Been a while. And Mike, what's it been? At least a month? Maybe 6 weeks?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, I must say like 6 weeks or whatever. But, you know, luckily Kevin Kleinrock is a very patient man. Because I'm constantly texting him, go, "Dude, I'm sorry, but I got this." Go, "Man, don't worry about it. Just make sure, you know, when you're set up and ready to go, you let Greg know." Because, you know, Greg DeMarco cleans everything up and takes all that. So he's been real patient. And it kind of worked out, because I've been trying to get Scotty Nelson on for a while, but he's got so much going on that, you know, it's kind of hard to pin him down. But we do have him today. I texted him this morning, told him, "Hey, don't forget you're booked," or whatever. He's like, "Yeah, no problem." So hopefully around the 7:15 mark, we're going to have him come on and talk. Now, for the people who are not too familiar, I know Mike's familiar because I mentioned Scotty Nelson quite a bit. And to make a long story short, I worked for him for On the Mat for 7 years. And, you know, we did so much, and he was like, it's just weird, because I was working for Ed Solares, and when he was switching, selling his Sinister brand or whatever, you know, Scotty called like the next day and said, "Hey bro, come over here. We'll take care of you." I ended up working for him for 7 years. And then when all the, pandemic hit, you know, and things, the show was on life support, and, you know, we had to kill it, Kevin Kleinrock called like 3 days later and said, "Hey bro, come over here." So it's been like, you know, luckily, you know, things have worked out. So a lot has gone on, especially with Scotty Nelson back then, because he was mostly, you know, On the Mat, My Lucky Gi, jiu-jitsu, MMA fighters, you know, sponsoring all that. But he ended up, it's a long story, but he ended up going to Mexico to try to get some cancer treatments and stuff like that. And it was so bad out there that he made a concerted effort to help and help build the hospitals and help get the nurses that knew what they were doing and stuff like that. So it snowballed into what it is today. And it was funny, Mike, because I remember he put up the Kevin Nash, went over there to get some stem cell things for his shoulder, I think it was, or whatever. And it was funny because he goes, "Hey, you know this dude, wrestler Kevin Nash?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah, he came down to get some." I'm like, "What?" And then as I was doing the research, Rey Mysterio and Dominic went down there too. So it's really starting to snowball into, you know, you can go to Mexico and get these stem cells. I don't, Mike, are you familiar with stem cell things that they put in your body to help, you know, your knees and your shoulders and junk?
You know what? I kind of sort of do, because I remember seeing Kevin Nash make videos about doing that.
Yeah.
A while ago.
Yeah, that's where he went.
And he's saying, "Oh, is that really? That was a..."
Well, you know, out here, because I work with a couple of doctors that do it, but out here, it's expensive, dude. I mean, I'm talking like, I was quoted, I think, $9,000 for one thing or whatever, and up to $10,000 for something else and all that. I'm like, dude, that definitely leaves me out. So I guess what it is since, you know, we're in Mexico, they can make it a little bit more affordable, you know, but he wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was right and everybody knew what they was doing. And once he did that, I mean, it just, you know, everybody's going there now. A lot of the MMA guys, you know, Eddie Bravo, a lot of the top names in jiu-jitsu and all that. And now it's rolling over into some of these pro wrestlers, because as you know, Michael Parks, as you get older, things don't work as well as they used to or whatever. So, you know, it's expensive, man. And, you know, if you could find an alternative or whatever, I know he did one, and then I'm pretty sure that he's got three that he's involved with out there in Mexico now. And then he was working on one in Puerto Rico. That's the last time, you know, I talked to him about that. So we'll get him on. we'll talk a little bit about that. And now, you know, the it also, I don't know if he wants to talk about it or not, but the whole thing with On the Mat, they had some problems, and a couple things, you know, went haywire in the Built to Fight, you know, label and all this stuff. But a lot of that's behind him now. So, you know, we're talking, jiu-jitsu has blown up into this major sport now where people can actually make a living from it. And I had Casey Halstead on not too long ago, and that's what he said. He said, I never thought that it would come to where you can be a jiu-jitsu practitioner and get your black belt and open your own place and actually start to make money. And Scotty Nelson was a big part of that too. He was the referee when Hoyler Gracie and Eddie Bravo had their rematch, because that was huge. So he was the actual, when they looked for somebody who was fair and impartial, they went to Scotty Nelson. So, you know, big player in the world of jiu-jitsu and MMA. And he recently went down to Ralph Gracie, and a whole bunch of the black belts went out there to roll and do some stuff for Kurt Oseander, because, you know, he needs some medical treatment and stuff out there, whatever. So it's still, you know, got his hand in the jiu-jitsu game. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that and get all that together. So he's going to be coming on at about the 7:15 hour. But before we get into that, Mike and I were talking today, but this is what I'm hoping, Mike, that we'll get Scotty on about 7:15 and get I gave him a half hour or whatever, because we've got so much to talk. I hate to cut people off, but you know, we'll get all his stuff in. Are you got your radio on in the back? What do you got going on back there? What do you at a party? At a house party?
No, I'm actually watching WWE Rivalry.
Oh my God.
On A&E.
Am I going to have to call you Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
No, are you kidding me? Stop it. Because you watch it too, so shut up.
No, you know what? I was actually watching Law & Order before. No, I'm going to – you know what? I got to be honest. I was watching Real Housewives of Atlanta with Nyvonne.
I'm done.
And there was two episodes for 2 hours.
Jeez.
But anyways, you know what? I should
have
done.
Lord, have mercy.
But we'll – speaking of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, this is what I wanted to talk to Mike about, about the 7:45 mark when we have some time at the end to talk some pro wrestling, because Mike and I go to quite a few shows now, and we watch just to see, you know, some of the talent, and we're thinking, you know, hey, let's switch it up and put this guy with this guy. But Mike, we ran into a little bit of controversy first of all, I started marking out myself, because when the referee came out we went to Bushido Cup for Orange County Championship Wrestling, and they played Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. And
yes,
like,
they did.
Who stole my idea? Or whatever. So I started working out. But real quick, Mike, I'm going to go to you and talk about that little bit of controversy or whatever. But I got to tell you, man, I hate to put you on blast, Mike, but he had one fireball. He's hammered. I just got to put it out there. Bill Chu was behind us, and he's like, hey, bro, I'm going to the bar. I'm going to get a shot of Fireball. You want one, Fabi? And I'm like, nah, man, I have heartburn for you. And Mike's like, hey, I'm down, man. And he's like, Mike, you want it? Yeah, I'm down. So they had a couple of Fireball shots. But we had I don't want to say we had a better time, but we had a good time not only watching the matches, but I ended up eating all the lemon pies. Don't ask me why. I don't know if those were the best sellers or whatever, but Mike didn't get the lemon pie. So it was
going to mention that. I was going to say that. That ate all the lemon pies.
Yeah. So, and my nephew ended up, they raffled off a Hulk Hogan NWO. It wasn't a bobblehead. It was an action figure, but it looked like a bobblehead or whatever. That turned out, we looked it up, and it was like anywhere from 60 to 90 bucks, you know, on eBay or whatever. So we made out like a bandit. But real quick, Mike, before we go to the big break, you know, give us just a snippet of what we were talking about, which was a little bit controversial, because, you know, I was telling Mike to kind of tread lightly, but he's like, nah, man, we got to tell these wrestlers, hey, man, this is what we didn't see out of you or whatever, like kind of like that. Right, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, look, why are you going to sugarcoat telling somebody that they need work? It's like being a football coach and me telling my offensive line, hey, you're doing a good job, but you're really not. And I'm telling you, you're doing a good job, so I don't want to hurt your feelings. Stop it. Stop it. Because at the end of the day, it's not just us critiquing him, but the wrestler.
Right.
And how do you expect to get over if people don't like your product?
Right.
You're your number one fan, and you're thinking you're this and you're that. but people don't want to come see you because they what you put out is what they see.
Right.
What they see, they're not going to like, which means you're not gonna sell tickets to the average fan. Maybe to your friends and family, you might get away with that, but to the average wrestling fan that's just coming to the show, no, you're not. You're just not, because your work is in the pudding.
When we get to the about the 7:45 mark or whatever, we talk about it, we'll expand a little bit more, because my phone rang all day today. I talked to Mike, I don't know, about 12 o'clock or something this afternoon. But since then, Mike, I've talked to Bill Chu, who was another one who said the same thing. He said, hey, man, you know, you've blown up or whatever. And the wrestler got kind of mad and said, hey, you know, he's not in the ring. He doesn't know or whatever. So I talked to Bill Chu today, and I also talked to AJ Mana. And I also talked to Chaz. I mean, yeah, Chaz. So much went on today, you know. And for some reason, as a booker for certain feds or whatever, I don't know why, but the heat just comes to me. And everybody's like, "Well, dude, this." And I'm like, "Hey, man, you know, I'm just trying to put people together and kind of change things around and make stuff different or whatever." But dude, I mean, today all day, first of all, Nyvonne and Jessica went to Rad Coffee, and it was literally, Mike, an hour. It took a full hour for them to wait in line, place their order, and receive their order. So I'm sitting in the heat waiting for them. So I was boiling or whatever. But, you know, then my phone just started ringing, you know, off the hook. Hey, it was just – even Guyam. I talked to Guyam today. And we were talking about that too, because he's like, hey, man, I got a show coming up. These guys don't want to come and promote and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, bro, you know, I hear you. So I forgot even him. I called and talked to him, you know, and he's like, well, maybe I better bring Santana because he's the only one who can, you know, come down and draw or whatever. Let's work that. And so it's a whole thing, man. It's just really the status or whatever, or the state of independent pro wrestling to me is – like the wrestlers are getting a little out of control, and they want to be able to say, hey, I want this, I want that, but it don't work like that. You know, so we'll get into that. We'll get into that at about the 7:45 mark. I got a couple of things I want to run by Mike and get his opinion on that, because he's, you know, Pacific Wrestling Alliance has got stuff coming right up around the corner, and he knows what it's like to put on a show. So, you know, he's got to decipher, well, is this guy going to help me out, or is he just want to come and get paid? So it's a big thing. So we're going to Mike, you agree, right? I mean, you don't just rent the place and put the wrestlers out there. You gotta work with these guys, right?
Yeah. Speaking of that, we have a new handle with Instagram. It's Pacific Wrestling Alliance LLC. That's the new handle. Hit us up on Instagram. Comment whether you like me or not. Comment. Leave something so that we can start getting some feedback and we can start interacting with you guys, because we got some things in the work. We got some things working out right now, and we're about to get started.
And you scouted out a place to actually start doing your own podcast and stuff like that for Pacific Wrestling Night. So what they're probably going to do is say, good, if you bring Fabi over there, you do all the talking and just let Fabi sit there. like I do to you.
Exactly.
We'll talk about that. Let me get to the big break. Let me get Scotty Nelson in here, and then we'll expand on that a little bit more. All right, my man?
Well, let me tease him with this.
Go for
it. I'm thinking a lot of the independent wrestlers out here are doing this as a hobby, not as a job.
Yeah,
They're not looking. So let's just leave it at that. And then,
yeah, you keep saying that, so I want you to expand on that. So we'll talk about that at about the 7:45 mark or whatever. Let me take the big break. I'll get Scotty Nelson all squared away. We're going to talk some jiu-jitsu and some Chispa Hospital and stuff like that, and then we'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week or when to try a new one. This past Sunday, Jerry Villagrana presented a Spanish episode of Photo Versus on the Lucha Central Facebook page. And he went mano a mano with Mexico's Black Terry Jr., looking at some of their favorite photos of mid-match lucha dives. Even if you don't speak Spanish, you are going to want to check out this video from this one and see some of the best Lucha Libre photography on the planet. Tune in Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern for more each week. This coming Sunday, Jerry will be joined by the photographer known as Speedy as they talk working their way from shooting the indies to the majors and some of their favorite photos of indie talent now in AEW. On Tuesdays, on Mass, Mass, and Mayhem, of course there will be talk of Lucha Underground Season 1, Episode 14, which you can go watch right now on Tubi.tv for free. But this week, there's also lots of ups and downs over AEW Raw Underground and the use of former Lucha Underground stars Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar, along with his Legado del Fantasma. Plus, Casey unboxes the new Mr. T, WWE Elite figure, and more. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. This Tuesday night, live on WrestleBossLive.com, Bobby Chulo is back to talk pro wrestling and MMA. First, cheerleader Melissa joins the show to talk working as Mariposa on Lucha Underground, being a women's wrestling trailblazer, and the state of women's wrestling today. Then Jiu-Jitsu Black Belt Richard Arreola stops by to talk to Abu Dhabi Combat Club, the world's top grappling competition. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesday. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. This week, two-time AAA Cruiserweight and former AAA Mixed Tag Team Champion Alex Kozlov and AAA commentator Jose Manuel Guillen pull up seats at the table. Find the video version on Facebook Wednesday through Friday, and then on weekends, download the audio version in podcast form. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez. This week, it's part two with Los Angeles Misterioso as they talk the controversy surrounding his name, plus his international tours in Mexico and Japan. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast. One in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring, from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. This week, both shows have news for you on the Lucha Brothers in AEW, the return of CMLL live action this past Friday night, Lucha Times weekly series, what's next for AAA, and more. Catch up on the top stories of the entire week in Lucha Libre in just 90 minutes. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Man, that was a long one. I'm calling Patty right
Scott.
Now. So we
can... I'm frequently out of the country, and my phone doesn't ring through. So please.
He's frequently out of the country. How about that? let me shoot him a text that we're calling him right now. Hold on a second. All right. Sorry about that. Now we're really going to have to put Greg DeMarco to work. Watch this. This is what happens when you have a live show. Okay, Scotty, try once calling you again. He's calling. Was that you? Because I think they get an East Coast number or whatever.
Yeah.
But he said he tried to answer, so let me.
347.
Yeah, let me try it again. Hold on a second here.
Hello?
Hey, Scotty, it's Fabiano. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good, buddy. How are you?
Perfect. I'm good. Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. I got my man Michael Parks here and on the air with us live now. Somebody we've been trying to get on for quite some time. But, you know, when you're building hospitals and helping people, you know, you're a busy man. But Scotty Nelson is with us live. Scotty, how are you, my friend? It's been such a long time, but I know you're a busy man. How are you?
I've been good, man. You know, just grinding away, trying to kill some cancer and heal people up with stem cells.
It's funny. There's so much that I want to cover. You know, I want to talk a little bit of jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And I definitely want to talk about Chispa Hospital, because I was telling Mike, real quick, Michael Parks has been with me for a little while on this program. Michael Parks, say hi to Scotty Nelson.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's up, buddy? Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Heard a lot about you.
Mike's been with me for probably, man, at least 20 years or so, you know, through the pro wrestling and stuff like that. And he's a promoter, and he's been, you know, putting on shows and stuff like that. So he gradually has worked his way into, you know, coming on this show, talking jiu-jitsu and judo and stuff like that. So, you know, I've talked about you a lot, you know, especially with him off the air and stuff like that. But, you know, we were talking before you came on, in the opening and before we went on air. And I went, man, you know, it snowballed into so much, because like Kevin Nash has came out, Rey Mysterio Jr. and his son Dominic. So I want to talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that, it's funny, you know, so many people, when I do the shows and stuff like that, and I get the emails and stuff afterward, they ask me, well, what happened to On the Mat Radio? You know, it was so successful. And I'm like, dude, the pandemic hit and it just really screwed everybody up. Plus there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And I was telling Mike, you know, he was like, well, tell me a little bit about it or whatever. And we're talking. And I said, let me tell you something. When the South Bay On the Mat Fight Shop closed down, I was like, dude, that sucks. But when the Vegas one shut down, dude, that's when I had to go to counseling, because that one there, we didn't even have to book anybody. We would just go and set up, and so many people would come down just to come and get gear or talk to Scotty and stuff like that, that we didn't even have to book anybody. They would just show up, and we were able to get them on the air. So real quick before we continue on, was that the most successful one, the Vegas fight shop?
Oh, it was definitely, you know, up there as one of the most successful shops as far as for, like, celebrity combat athletes coming through, for sure, Vegas. Everybody goes through Vegas. All the fights back then were in Vegas. And so, you stop by there any day, and there could be anybody from Mayweather to Anderson Silva to Gina Carano. Like, anybody could be in there.
Well, I was telling Mike, it was so funny, because we've done it. The first time we went over to On the Mat, Scotty called and he's like, hey, man, you know, because we were with Sinister at the time. And then when Ed Sorres sold Sinister brand, Scotty was like, well, dude, come over here, man. Just come over here and we'll take care of you. And I'm like, all right, dude, no problem. So the next day, it was a Friday, and the next day, the Saturday, Extreme Couture was opening up. Randy Couture was having his grand opening. So Scotty called. This is 10 o'clock at night on a Friday night. And goes, bro, can you guys get down to Extreme Couture, because they're having the grand opening? So we just threw stuff in the truck and everything and headed out and made it out there with no sleep or whatever. And we were there right when it opened. And it was far and away one of the best times we had. Ray Seppel was on, Randy, just everybody, because, you know, Vegas is the fight capital of the world. So then it just snowballed from there. So since then, you know, things happened, whatever. The show did really well, and then, you know, kind of with the pandemic and everything. But now, since, you know, I don't know how I can put it, Scotty, that, you know, a lot of things are behind us now. I'll just put it like that. It seems like jiu-jitsu now has just snowballed into – I was telling Mike when we had Casey Halstead on, he was like, dude, I never thought that I would be able to, you know, get my black belt and train jiu-jitsu and be able to make a living from it. In other words, open a dojo and train people and stuff. So do you think, Scotty, that that's due to the fact that – I got to say, Eddie Bravo bringing out the EBI and people actually making money, you know, doing these tournaments. And then you got Seth Daniels with his tournaments and stuff like that. Do you think that's what attributed to getting these guys to start really training and getting you know, a strength and conditioning coach and really putting it out there? That's got to be the main thing, right?
I think that's definitely one of them. I mean, Eddie and Seth are both innovators, legends in the sport, and just the overall growth of the sport. There's so many more spectators and stuff. You know, they can be on Fight Pass and Flow Grappling and things like that, and there's a real demand for it. So it's just gotten really popular.
Well, give me your thoughts on this, because it was funny, because when I was going through Scotty's Facebook and stuff, he just recently went out to Half Gracie Jiu-Jitsu to go roll with those guys, because they had a little something for Kurt Osiander. But it brought me back to this. I was working for a different a different company, and we had, I can't remember who it was that we had on. I think it might have been Alan Goas. And he was talking about how the jiu-jitsu, the pure form is the IBJ, JJF, you know, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation, and it's in the gi, and it should be, you know, that way or whatever. So there's some of the old school guys that are like, dude, this is the way it should be. And then there's some other guys that are saying, no, man, it's expanded and it's no gi. And, you know, the guys are making, well, that's grappling. It's not jiu-jitsu in its true form. You kind of get that, Scotty? People come at you that way too?
I mean, we've been hearing that for years and years, you know. And, you know, things evolve, times evolve, what people's opinions evolve. But there's no doubt now that the no gi, you know, has really blown up. It seems like that's where the biggest opportunities for people to make money in. It's more spectator friendly, and you know, the gi is more of a traditionalist.
Yeah,
I love them both.
I got to tell you, when Metamoris first came out, I thought that was really, you know, awesome. I mean, it was funny too because we have Rafael Lovato Jr. on. This was a while back or whatever, and he had really flourished in the first three. You know, just submitting people or whatever, but then they didn't invite him to the fourth one, or I can't remember which one. And he was like, dude, I guess if you sub three Gracies, that's it, man. They don't invite you back or whatever. But I just thought that whole concept was really cool. You know, it kind of sucks that it kind of, you know, things happen and it wasn't, you know, able to stay or whatever. But I thought that was really cool. But not only that, and I talk about this a lot, you know, when we had the Jiu-Jitsu Expo, that was the first time. And it's funny because Scotty was like, dude, if you're going to be Jiu-Jitsu, you got to train in the gi. I mean, it's just, you know, I know you guys are wrestlers or whatever, and of course we got killed, but I slowly adapted to it. But that was the first time I met Rafael Lovato Jr. in person. And I was just, even Sergio too, Maestro, we were just amazed at the way, you know, this guy, I mean, first of all, you see him, he's like a, what's the word I'm looking for, like a comic book character, because he's huge, but the nicest guy in the world. And somebody didn't show up, you know, to do the seminar, so he did it. So he said, hey, man, if you guys got a break, you want to come over to the seminar. So that's when we really got to see what he was about or whatever. And I know he's since retired, you know, and stuff like that. But to me, that's like the epitome of jiu-jitsu in the gi with this guy. So real quick before we continue on, give me your thoughts on him. OTM sponsored him for a long time. How did you guys, you know, even hook up? And did he just come to you, or did you see him and go, hey, this is a bad dude, man. Let's bring him on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've known Rafael since he was like 15 years old. He came and lived at my house in Brazil. I don't remember exactly when we first met, probably at some jiu-jitsu tournament somewhere.
Yeah.
And, he lived with me down in Brazil when he was young and, you know, always been an active competitor, you know, America's best, for sure. And, you know, he actually came to me. Well, I always sponsored him with OTM, like more on a friendship basis, but he was like, hey, I really want to be sponsored by Lucky Gi and work with you on Lucky Gi. And, you know, we're still friends. I just talked to him a couple days ago. He's about to have twins, and, he's taking a run at, ADCC and you know, he's still active.
Yeah, that dude's amazing. Well, real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. Got my man Michael Parks here, and we're talking to Scotty Nelson, talking a little bit about, you know, jiu-jitsu and back in the day and how it's coming to the forefront. We're going to talk a little Chispa Hospital in a second. But, Mike, I got to tell you this story, okay, real quick. Because, you know, Nate and Nick Diaz have a specific reputation. But I call them dudes, you know, 100% because them dudes are real. So we had the Jiu-Jitsu Expo, and he had Nate was going to come down and sign for OTM. And he was at the Metal Militia booth first, and he had signed for like 2 hours. So Renato Laranja was signing at the OTM booth, and we were on the other side doing the podcast. So Nate was over there for a while, and I don't know if he was already a little bit. Well, first of all, I don't know if you remember this, Scotty, but you told us, hey, man, there's a little bit of a break. We'll watch your equipment if you guys want to go to lunch, because we had been there for like 4 hours or whatever. We said, yeah. So all the bathrooms downstairs were packed lines. So we went upstairs to use the restroom over there. So I'm using the restroom. I wash my hands. I turn, and Nate's right there in line. And I go, hey, what's up, man? And he looks at me and goes, what's up, man? What's up? Like, you know, I'm like, no. I go, dude, we're with OTM. You know, you're going to come sign at the booth or whatever. We want to get you on air. He's like, all right, man. Yeah, cool, no problem. So we come back, and he comes to go sign at the booth. Now, Scotty, did you know you were going to put Nate side by side with Renato Laranja, or did it just work out that way?
It just worked out that way.
You know when you can hear somebody fighting for real? You know what I mean? You kind of know or whatever. So I hear him back there, and I'm like telling Sergio, dude, that sounds like they're fighting. He goes, nah, man, they're just messing around or whatever. And then I don't know what happened, but there was a big commotion. And I don't know if he went after him, whatever, but I grabbed Nate because he was starting to swing. So I grabbed him from behind, and Scotty comes over and goes, what's going on or whatever? And Nate's dropping N-bombs and all this stuff. And Scotty goes, you know what? Go over there right now. Go stand over there. Go over there. And so they break up, and Scotty tells him, go over there and go watch the jiu-jitsu for a while. Go cool down or whatever. So he walked off. And I go, what happened? He goes, I don't know, you know, but let him cool down and then, you know, so he can come back. Because he only signed like maybe four or five pictures or whatever. So he comes back, and I don't know what happened. He was talking to Scotty. He was telling Scotty, hey, man, I've been signing for 2 hours, and this dude, and I'm tired. And so Scotty goes, you know what, dude, just go home, man. He goes, you know, if you don't feel like it or whatever, I don't want you here unhappy, so just go ahead and go home. All right, cool. But when he turned right to in front of Renato Laranja again and went after him again. So I had to grab him. And that's the first time Scotty didn't get upset, but he was like, Nate, go home. Just go. Or like that. So you remember that, Scotty? You remember that? You got to remember that day. Like,
how could I forget?
So to this day, people, because there's a little snippet of it on YouTube or whatever, they're like, dude, was that a work? I was like, nah, man. I said, that dude's the real deal. That, you know, that really happened or whatever. So that was our foray or whatever you call it into the jiu-jitsu scene or whatever. We had to grab Nate. And I'm going to be honest, man, I was afraid he was going to turn around and start swinging at me because I grabbed him. But luckily, Scotty was there. So that kind of he snapped him back into reality or whatever. So anyways, that was pretty cool. But, So Scotty,
it's
since
crazy
then,
day.
I know, I don't want to get the story wrong or whatever, but I know there was some stuff going on, you know, with needing medication and stuff or whatever. So you actually went to Mexico and saw that they were so, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, outdated or whatever. You said, hey, man, I think I need to come and, you know, help these people and get some real nurses in here and get some real stuff in order. So real quick for the people listening to us on WrestleBoss Live, tell us a little bit about how all that got started because it's really snowballing into something big now.
Yeah, well, yeah, it wasn't really like that. It was more that Mexico has a more liberal medical system and things are much more affordable. So, you know, we're able to offer cancer treatments that either aren't affordable or in the United States are not available. In the United States, we treat cancer patients, autoimmune, and we do a lot of work with stem cells at the Cellular Performance Institute, CPI. And, you know, I just had a chance, my business partner, Ed Clay, you know, it was his vision to open the hospital. He wanted to treat his mother down there. And, you know, things have just worked out really well. We've built really good teams of doctors and nurses down there, as well as scientists that support us. And things were rough over COVID, you know, but we're back at it and things are going good.
So are you spending most of your time over there now in Mexico?
Oh, yeah. I live in TJ now 7 years.
Oh, dude. Oh, that's right. So you're actually a citizen now.
Not quite, but I'm putting my time in.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, because I think it takes about 7 years or whatever. But, I mean, when you're doing work like that and helping people and stuff like that, you know, there's a lot of red tape that they're just going to bust through because they want to keep you there. But, you know, I was telling Mike, too, how it snowballed and that Kevin Nash came down to check out the stem cells. And I know Eddie Bravo was there. And even Rey Mysterio Jr. and Dominic, his son, came down there. Now, how did they hear about this? Do you advertise on the Spanish commercials out there? How do these guys... Go ahead.
They were friends with one of my employees, and that's how. Well, Rey Mysterio found out about it from the Joe Rogan show because Eddie Bravo was talking about it. But Kevin Nash is friends with one of my employees, and invited him down.
Yeah, and the I'm sorry, the Stem Cell Institute order, is that separate from Chispa Hospital?
Yeah, sort of. It's a separate business. You know, we share a building, but it's a Cellular Performance Institute. We go by CPI Stem Cells. And, you know, we've been making cellular therapies for cancer patients for a long time now. And we got partnered up with a guy that helped us with that program, and then also with the stem cell program. So we have some of the most advanced stem cells in the world. It's much harder to teach a cell to kill cancer cells than it is to take an umbilical stem cell that, you know, wants to duplicate and become a baby and use those to heal people up and anti-aging. You know, we treat all kinds of stuff.
Man, that's a lot going down over there. Well, let me tell you something. You know, I saw that Nick Diaz came down and came and talked to some of the cancer survivors and stuff like that. That alone tells you how much respect Scott Nelson gets. Because even at that Jiu-Jitsu Expo, that was supposed to be the main event, Nick Diaz against Buchecha in the super fight, and he didn't show up. And that was huge. So to go down to Chispa Hospital and come and talk to some of the cancer survivors and stuff like that, talk a little bit about that. Did you call him and say, hey, bro, you want to come down? Or did he get a hold of you? How did all that come about?
Well, I had heard from Jake Shields and Chris Vera, some good friends of his, that he was having some spine and neck issues. And so we just called him. I just called him up, talked to him about the stem cell program. And he came down. He did the stem cells. He's got a really bad neck. He took a bad mountain bike wreck, but we're doing our best to, you know, get him back into fight shape, get him back in the cage.
Yeah. He looks good. He you know, when I saw the picture, he looks good. Like he's not in fighting shape, but just like he's taking care of himself and getting ready. You know what I mean? So I think he's going to do some
is.
Damage.
Yeah,
for sure. So real quick, I got to tell you, man. Go ahead, Mike.
Scotty, I have a question for you. Does the stem cell, does it work on stenosis? Because
I actually treated my bone back for stenosis, and we also treated Dominic Ray's son for stenosis as well. It can work really well. Just need an MRI to see what's going on. I mean, you remember how bad mine was, Bobby?
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, definitely.
I was diagnosed with stenosis, and I was wanting to, that's the question I wanted to ask you.
It sounds like
MRI, you know, just hit me up, or you can go to, you know, our website, cpistemcells.com, but you can just hit me up and I can have a specialist look at your MRIs and talk to you a little bit and see if it's a possibility.
Yeah, sounds like Mike and I are going to be taking a trip out to Tijuana pretty soon. Sounds good to me. But real quick, I got to tell you, you know, I've been working with Scotty for so long or whatever, and it's funny because just today, you know, when I was getting all the stuff ready for the show and all that, LFA, which is Ed Suarez's company I hate the word feeder system, but kind of like a feeder system for the UFC. Two of the girls that are fighting on there are ones that I announced as King of the Cage. So once he saw that I had Scotty on the show or whatever, we talked, hey, bro, you should come check out the fight and all that. So I'm definitely going to go down and get some stuff. Scotty, if I tape some stuff or whatever, can I send that to Gumby to get that on themat.com?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, perfect, because the fight card is off the chain, man. So I'm definitely going to go down and check that out so we can get that going again, because On the Mat has – I was telling Mike today, that, you know, when I talked to Scotty, I said, hey, if you send me the lucky gear, I want to come to some of these dojos and do like we did before. And the first one was Anaconda Cat. Dude, get over here, and we'll shoot some stuff and make it. But I'm going to be honest, dude. I'm going to be 57 years old. I can't take those bumps anymore. So I got to find me somebody that can take the bumps and we can get those on tape. And send them out there.
Yeah,
so
buddy, you need to come down to Tijuana and let us heal you up.
Yeah, you know what? I'm seriously, I think Mike and I are going to talk after the show and seriously consider, you know, taking a trip out there for sure. But anyway, for the people listeners, don't forget, check out Scotty Nelson. You can see him on social media. Keeps everybody up to date on there. Also, you know, is there a website or whatever? What's the website for the Chispa Hospital and the stem cell research one?
Yeah. Chispa, CHIPSA, hospital.org, and CPIstemcells.com.
CPIstemcells.com. Well, hey, man, you know, I appreciate you coming on. And I think I could speak for Sergio Maestro, you know, for taking care of us for so many years. I hope that we can get back because jiu-jitsu has blossomed so much. And let me tell you something. I had I had Pauline Peter Macias and three girls, Missy Estrada from Seth Daniels organization and stuff, and my ratings were through the roof. I don't know why would you have the women on that it just skyrockets or whatever. So I'm hoping we can, you know, get back into it, man. On the Mat was so, you know, great. People still talk about the Lucky Year. I'm always getting hit up about that. So I would really like to bring that to the forefront because that's what started it all. So I'm hoping we can get back together and get all that back out, you know, because that's the main one, man. I mean, I'm Lucky Year for life because it's just a great product. So definitely look forward to that. Scotty Nelson, a million thank yous for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. We'll hope to get you back on soon. And we hope to get out there to TJ pretty soon. If not for anything else, just to visit for a little while. All right, my friend?
All right. Taco's on me when you come down. Hope to see you soon. Thanks, guys.
Taco, now you're
Thank
talking.
You.
All right. Hold on. Let me pull this up real quick. We'll be right back after this, everybody. Scott Nelson, I'll give those websites out at the end of the show so you guys can go check it out. Scotty Nelson, everybody, make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Sounds like Mike and I are going to be taking a trip to TJ pretty soon, man. That's from what I hear and everything, people have been, you know, doing really well, and it is expensive out here, so we can go out there and go check that out, man. Definitely. Hey, a million thank yous for Scotty coming on and giving us some information on that. So real quick for the people listening, you're here, WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. Got Michael Parks with me. We're talking a little bit to Scotty of On the Mat about, you know, he's Scott Nelson, but I've called him Scotty for so long. He's like, hey, man, I'm a girl man, whatever. So Scott Nelson about that stuff. But, you know, Mike, it's true, though. You know, jiu-jitsu has blossomed into so much or whatever. I would really, and I've been slacking, you know, because, you know, he sent me the gi, he goes, you know, head out to some of these dojos and stuff like that, but I've just been slacking because I've been slacking. I mean, what else can I say? So I'm going to pick up the pace on that. But I'm telling you, dude, when I went to Anaconda Academy and got judo tossed, I was sore for like 4 days because, I mean, they dig them hips that you have nowhere to go but down or whatever. So we're going to work on that. But anyways, Mike, real quick before we get into talking about you know, the indie scene and not hurting people's feelings and stuff like that, you know, when I did the show a couple Sundays ago. I rushed home so I could check out the AEW pay-per-view. And real quick before we talk about that, I got to tell you, man, although he did a pretty good job, Orange Cassidy, Will Ospreay's just on another level, man. I mean, I think that dude really needs what's the word I'm looking for? A good dance partner, or they need to step up the game because Will Ospreay could do some damage, bro. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm as much as I love Okada, and, you know, I guess I'm selfish. I want the belt on him all the time.
Yeah.
But can you see a Jay White, Ospreay rivalry for the IWGP world title.
I certainly mean, can. Well, Mike, you and I were there at Cal State Long Beach when Will Ospreay wrestled Marty Scurll, and we had for some reason we had great seats and we were right there. But from where we were sitting, they put on a show. I mean, that was got to be at least one of the top 10 matches I've ever seen. They put on a show, so I think they should give this kid a push, man. I mean, the U.S. title's great and everything, but I think he can hold that IWGP belt, right?
Well, he had it. Remember,
uh-huh.
He wore the title. And then he got injured or he got sick.
Uh-huh.
And he had to give it up, remember? He didn't lose it in the ring. He lost
yeah,
it because he
right.
couldn't defend it because he was injured.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's still pretty much the uncrowned champion.
Yeah.
So it would be nice, especially now that Okada's going to have his child. You know.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a program with those two.
Lucky for us, Michael Parks is fluent in Japanese, so he can give him a call and, you know, use some of his influence from WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo to talk to the promoters out there and maybe give this guy a push. You willing to do that for us, Mike?
Oh, man, you know what? When we get off from here, I'm calling Tokyo, brother. I'm calling Tokyo.
And say, look here. All right. Put that belt on Will Ospreay. Well, you know, with that
right
being
now.
Said, you know, you see Will Ospreay, and you know, it speaks for himself. You know, just like I said, gear's tight. He, you know, all that he's his work rate, everything. You know, the dude just is the epitome of a wrestler. This is what I'm trying to get across to some of these young guys. Man, get yourself out there. Make sure your gear is tight, even when you're not in the ring. You know, your clothes are ironed. You got a haircut. You know, if you got a beard, straighten out your lines just so people know that you're professional, you know, and get it out there. So Mike thinks I'm a little too easy on these guys as far as it comes to work rate in the ring. I'm different in that way because I'm like, I don't want to put you down, but I'm like, dude, you know, if you want to get yourself out there, start working on this or whatever. Mike and Bill Chu are different. They're like, you know what, dude? You blowed up. Get your ass in on a treadmill or whatever. And Mike was, I don't know. I don't even know what you told a specific wrestler, you know, that he needed to do or whatever. So talk a little bit about that. I mean, you said, hey, man, I'm not going to pull back any punches or whatever. I'm going to tell you like it is.
Well, you wanted me to tread lightly. It's like you're a pro wrestler and you are going out there to perform, and if you think what you're doing is good and getting over, well, it's not. So it was like I told this certain wrestler, I said I need you to do some homework for me. I need you to go home and pick a Rick Steamboat, Ric Flair match and watch how they tell a story in the match. I said, because you're not telling a story in your matches at all. That's why, and it's mind boggling why whoever's promoting this person isn't telling this person that's what you're supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
There should be an ebb and flow to your match. There should be a high point. There should be a low point. There should be a high point. There should be a low point. Low point is you getting if you're the face, getting beat up by the heel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Getting that white hot heat. The high point is you coming back and getting the fans behind you. But let me ask you something: how many times of any show that we have gone to, have you actually seen that happen, where you saw a match tell a story where you got that kind of reaction from the fans?
Yeah, that's true.
Because it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, bro, what are we doing? Because
yeah,
we're not getting over.
You know, real quick on that show that we were at, I personally know it was a tournament style show or whatever, but I think the matches went a little bit too long. okay, unless you're Ric Flair against Ricky Steamboat or Shawn Michaels against Bret Hart, it's kind of hard to keep somebody's attention for that long. You know, you could get all your stuff in and really, you know, some false finishes or whatever and keep those people glued to want more. Now, what about that? You think the matches were a little bit too long? I thought they were. I thought maybe, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes or you know, 15 at the most or to get your stuff in. But they seemed to run a little bit long, and people kind of lost. There was a couple of matches where it was kind of quiet. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of quiet. Okay. It would have been different if those matches were 10 to 12 minutes and they were action-packed.
Right. But when you heard what I was saying,
you have matches,
there was some matches where it was kind of quiet and we could hear each other taking sips of Fireball or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you be quiet. I'm saying it was quiet in the arena while the wrestling was going on.
Hence the reason why there was no storytelling going on.
Yeah.
It was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just a mess. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I think it's very, very important that these guys, they don't have ring psychology, Bobby.
Uh-huh.
I don't think at all, and they don't want to hear anybody tell them that that's not what they have.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they like being told no. I don't think they like being told no, and I'm not in the locker room.
Right.
I just don't think. You know, when you have independent wrestlers who can come out and tell you what they think they deserve, they should be paid, but yet you haven't traveled outside of certain areas, let's
right.
say. And so you're not really known anywhere else other than said area, but you're going to tell me how much you ought to be paid.
Right. Well, let's take, for instance, I'll give you two wrestlers, okay? One of them is Rush. The other one is Pero Aguayo Jr. Those dudes came out and they were just nonstop action, man. Well, not, you know, I'm speaking of Pero Aguayo Jr. I mean, he was just action. Boom, boom. He came out and just didn't stop, kind of like Rush. I mean, that dude just does not stop. You ain't have time to even take a sip of your Fireball while you're working or whatever. You see what I'm the message I'm trying to convey to some of these guys. You got to come out and boom. Or if you don't have that in you, you know, you got to tell a story. You know, you got to you know, establish who's the face and the heel, so they know. And you know, kind of like a Pimpinela Escarlota or people like that, that just, you know, they have that crowd. You know who, honestly, Michael Parks, when you think about it, like Brazo de Plata, that dude had that crowd in his hand and can work it, and people were like, you know what I'm saying? That's one dude who could tell a story and really, really make it work or whatever. Is that kind of like what you're talking about?
Yeah, because he, you know, again, when it was him and his brothers, you know, if his brothers pushed him or smacked him and he started fake crying, you know, the fans would be on his side. You know what I mean? And
yep.
he became the lovable chubby guy who could dance and you know, do all of that, but still he could put on a show,
right?
And he could wrestle,
right?
You know,
so, maybe we should have them. Maybe we should have them watch some Brazo de Plata tapes instead of Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. Go ahead.
Everybody that you mentioned, you know, from Rush and. Pedro Lyle Jr.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a difference between them and those that are out now. And I think they had, especially Pedro Lyle Jr., I loved watching him because he wrestled with passion.
Uh-huh.
Like a fiery passion.
Right.
And he, hey, And Roosh does the same thing now. That's why I love Roosh, because he reminds me of him.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Bill O'Reilly Jr. in so many ways. And it's like, you know, just thinking about that, do these guys have, do they really have a passion for the business, or are they doing this just to say that they were pro wrestlers?
Right.
Because if you have a passion for it, that means you're willing to get better at your craft, and you're willing to get yourself in pro wrestling shape instead of, you know, we can have a show, an hour and a half show of just talking about this and talking about how guys, their look.
Hold on, Mike. Hang on one second. Hello, you're live on Wrestle Boss. Who's this?
Yo, Pumpkin Spice.
Is this Pumpkin Spice live and in person?
Yeah.
Hey, well, look, listen. This is what we're talking about. For the people listening to us, Pumpkin Spice was actually with us at this show. Okay, we went to Bushido Cup at OCCW. Okay, and we watched the matches. Now, Pumpkin Spice. This is what we were talking about. Did you feel that the matches went a little bit too long because you were sitting right in front of us?
Yes, and the people were working four shifts.
Yeah, they four matches apiece or whatever. So we saw, okay, and it turned out to be the finals was JBD versus, what's his name? I was going to say Human Tornado.
Inferno.
So we didn't think JBD had a chance, but he ended up winning the whole. Go ahead.
It was rigged.
It was rigged?
Yep.
What do you mean? well, tell us. Okay, tell us who. Okay, JBD went over for the Bushido Cup. He's going to get a title match against Azrael, and they're all in the same faction. So let's take JBD out of the equation. Who do you think should go against Azrael for that OCCW belt? Because, you know, Azrael's been the champion for a while. The only person I see that can give him a match is maybe Rickster or somebody like that. So let's take JBD out of the equation because I don't know what's going to happen with that. We'll take it around the horn. We'll start with Pumpkin Spice. Who do you think should go against Azrael for the OCCW belt?
Okay, I would think Inferno.
Oh, okay. And well, he lost to JBD, so I don't think he's going to get I think Inferno will give Azrael a beating, and I don't think Azrael wants to take that beating, so I don't think that match is going to happen. Michael Parks, what do you think?
I'm with Pumpkin Spice.
So you think Inferno should be the hood ornament for OCCW?
That would be the smart thing to do.
Because the only one, I got to be honest, the only one that captures my attention and does what we were just talking about, Mike, is Rickster. You know, he comes out with a lot of passion. He comes fired up. He hits some good moves, you know, and if he gets hit, he has to take that big bump. Yeah, I mean, he puts in the work. Maybe a little bit too small for Inferno, but he's really the only one that stands out to me. NOCCW. We'll take it around the horn. Pumpkin Spice, who do you think is right now probably the best in OCCW? I say Rickster can hold some attention. What about you?
Yeah, I say Rickster for sure.
Yeah, he kept that. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I like Rickster. He can work.
Well, here's the thing. I was talking to Pumpkin Spice earlier because, you know, he always helps me when I'm putting together some matches, and we always want to put Rickster in the mix. But the couple of times that I've called him, I don't know if he doesn't want to work, you know, for certain companies or whatever, but he's turned me down a couple of times. Do you think maybe, Mike, that he's doesn't want to take too many bookings or he wants to stay in his comfort zone, or what do you think it is?
I don't know. Is he being told by somebody that he can't go work for somebody else?
I don't know. That's another thing. Who knows?
In all honesty, you know, how are you going to stop somebody from becoming successful? How are you going to do that?
And, I don't know.
You know, especially with you're at this level, and if they could move up to another level, that only helps them. That only benefits them because they get to wrestle possibly a different caliber of person than what they get to wrestle with you.
Yeah, more people want to come and see them. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly.
But, you know, as soon as I'm done with certain shows or whatever, I start putting together, I say, well, you know, let's switch it up and let's try to get these people involved. So Mason, better known as Pumpkin Spice, you know, he helps me a lot because Mason's been almost to every show that we've been to, you know, when we go. And that's when you can make somebody Mason's age pop and go, yeah, bro, that was a good match. I mean, that's a big measuring stick. So, Mason, give me the last two matches that you had on that card that you were talking to me about the other day. Give me the semi-main and the main event.
The one that we're going to do with the $1,200?
Yes. $1,200 budget, get? Michael Parks.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's going to be Robbie Phoenix and Fletcher Fogas versus Guyam and Chivo Jr. And the main event was going to be Santana Jackson, Josh Shade, and Princep Leon versus Mr. Work in Progress, Sean Black, and Guy Cole.
That's the Vegas versus L.A. thing. What do you think about that card?
Man, you better pay Mason for doing this.
Because that's what we talk about, and that'll be massively different, you know, that'll mix it up or whatever. And you know, I've been talking to Dashade, and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna bring you out or whatever. But you know, I'll be honest, I totally forgot about him, and I brought Santana out, and then the two Sky High guys just happened to be coming out this way, so they got, you know, they got a double payday since I put them. Or whatever. So now I would like to put Sky High in a better match, because unfortunately they had to wrestle me. So you know that slowed it down or whatever. But I was thinking Sky High versus Guy Cool and Hellman Rose Crown. I thought that would make a good match or whatever. And then I was talking to Nicolette, and I thought, well, what about Legacy and Superboy Junior or Borro Junior? And she's like, oh no, I don't think they can work Lucha or whatever. But I mean, I think that we'll let's take it around the horn. We'll start with Michael Parks. What do you think, Sky High versus Legacy and Superboy Junior? You remember Sky High from the Noki Dojo shows, right? The airline guys, the pilots.
Yes, the top guys.
What do you think? Yes.
Yep. It all depends on if what style you're going to ask everybody to wrestle. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that Legacy and Superboy Jr. are well versed in any style. They can work with anybody. So I think they would bring out a Sky High Mondo Rocks and Robbie Litt to a whole different level. You know, they'd be like, dude,
okay.
You know, that's dance partner and a half. Pumpkin Spice, what do you think?
I think what would be a better match might be Sky High versus Legacy and Tekeno Shamu.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they're about the good size for them. You know what? Dude, what about this? We were going to go Demus and somebody against Shamu Jr. and Pequeño Shamu. Who was going to team with who?
Demus.
And who else?
Demus versus Pequeño Shamu and Shamu Jr.
What do you think about that matchup, Mike?
Oh, that'd be cool, man.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice match.
But see, that's different.
Ooh.
And people would actually come and pay to see that. So see, this is what Mason and I talk about constantly about mixing it up. And then when I thought, dude, that would be sweet, because Demus can work with anybody. That dude can, as you know, Mike, we've seen him a couple of times. And I think Daniel Shamu, you put him with Shamu Jr., those guys can go too. I mean, I think that's going to be a match and a half. So that's what we do. We put matches together constantly or whatever. So we're going to work on that. But, you know, like we were talking about, Mike, I talked to AJ Mana today. And we talked a lot about pay and about, you know, who you work against and stuff like that. I got a lot of stuff straightened out with him. I talked to Chaz today, and we talked a lot about people who weren't ready to have matches and training and, you know, what's going on with that. I got everything straightened out with him because he's a good worker, dude. He Chaz puts the time in, you know, practicing and working on his craft and gets out there. I, personally, and we'll take this around the horn real quick too. To me, I would like to turn Chaz heel on top of heel with heel, and because he's got that crazy look. I compare him to like a Pompero Firpo. He's got that crazy hair and the beard and stuff like that. And when people see him, they like, dude, is this the Shah of Iran or what is this dude, Mexican? So I think he would really prosper as a heel, and he can work with anybody too, Lucha, American style, strong style or whatever. So I think, you know, he's one guy that I'm personally – thinking of giving a push or whatever. So real quick, Pumpkin Spice, what do you think? Uncle Chaz, switch him heel, make him, put him out there?
Yeah, but Uncle Chaz and PG are really working, so one of them, if we do have a show though, PG Jello might not want to come, but if PG Jello does come and Uncle Chaz might not come, but I think it'll be good.
Yeah, we had to talk about that too. We had a whole talk about PG Jello and stuff too. And you know, luckily your Nina is we're talking about Nicolette Marie is knows. And Mike, we talked about this too, because you know when Nicolette first started, it was actually Della O who told her, "Hey, why don't you bring the flag out for your dad?" And then it kind of snowballed from there. And I said, "Hey, manager, valet, or whatever, you have to learn to take a bump. You have to learn to protect yourself or whatever." So I worked with her a little bit, and she even – it was funny because we were having trouble with the roles. And as you know, I'm a little bit older. Mariachi Loco just happened to be there that day training. And I said, "Hey, can you help me with Nicolette on the roles?" And, dude, within spam, they were spot on right from there. You know, so you have to train, and you have to, you know, be prepared or whatever. So Chaz and I talked about that too. He said, "Man, it was too early. You know, you got to know how to take a bump, and you know, got to know how to work the crowd and stuff like that." So we got all that straightened out too. So go ahead.
Wait, the 26th, am I
actually local with that? No. At training, this was a while back. That's another person too, Michael Parks and Mason. I've been trying to get Mariachi Loco for a while. I don't know what he's got going on because he hasn't really been working anywhere, but we made him a pretty substantial offer to come and work for us, but he just never called me back. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, I think Mariachi Loco with OG Playboy and stuff, those guys know how to work a crowd, and they know how to work. So, you know, OG Playboy is in Riverside. I don't want to bring him unless I could pay him what he, you know, what he deserves or whatever, because he's coming down. So that's in the works. That's in the works too.
I think what might be a good match is El Mariachi Loco and OG Playboy versus Rista and Chris Nasty.
Yeah, that'd be a good match. That's VWE personified or whatever. So we'll see, Mike, this is what we do. We just start writing them down, and then when it comes time to put the matches together, we just start making calls or whatever. So hopefully, Mike, with the PWA, Mason, keep those notes that we took, and when next time Michael Parks and I meet, we'll break out those notes and see who we want to bring down for those matches. Are you good with that, Mike? We'll just send Mike over there. Because I don't want to work for this company. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'll take care of you. Okay, Mike, we'll do it. So that's what Mike's a little more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for than me. They see me like, it's just Favi or whatever. So we'll work on that. But anyways, we're running up against the clock, so I got to get going. But go ahead, Mason, you want to say a little something else before we go?
Yeah. would like to bring the Bungle, but he doesn't. I don't think he really like lets his guys go anywhere else.
But that's been the consensus. Well, here's the thing. I only got 1 year left. I've been training and stuff, but I'm going to be 57 pretty soon. So there's a few commitments that I have, but I would really, and I made the offer. The only one, Mike, who's accepted it with no problem was Koto Hiro. I said, hey, man, I'll pay your booking fee if you and I go one-on-one, dude, next, within minutes. I'm there, bro. Just give me the place and the time. That's a wrestler. That's a dude who's got guts. Mm-hmm. And got heart. So I talked to Durango a couple of times and put the offer out there. He's like, yeah, bro, let's do it or whatever. But we just don't know if we're going to do it there or over in one of the companies that I work for. So that's on the table. Another person that I would really like to go one-on-one with before I retire completely is Joey Chaos. He's totally down. So it's just a matter of putting that together. So what I'm trying to say is for the right price and the right circumstance, they will come. They will come and do it. So we just have to keep that in mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I think.
Go ahead.
I think the Wongo here only works for any other company if you pay him $150. But
dang. we'll have to do a GoFundMe or something. These people want money. But we'll make it happen. Go ahead.
How you know this information, Mason? How you know all this information? Who told you?
You know, we talk all the. That's all we do when the pay per views are on or whatever we send in, and he'll go, hey, how much you think Durango will charge to come outside? We'll probably have to pay him about $100, $150, and then he writes it down so he knows. You know what I'm saying, right, Mason?
Yep. Before you retire,
Booker.
Go ahead.
Before you retire, I would like to see you versus the Wongo Kid.
Yeah, that's what we're working on. It's definitely going to happen. So we're working on that. We're going to get it out there. It's just a matter of time. I'm working on financial as well as physical before we get going over there. So, hey, man, appreciate you guys coming on. Mason, you and I are going to talk a little bit more about some matches and stuff like that. Mike, Pacific Wrestling Alliance making moves. He's working on getting his podcast out there. We'll keep everybody informed on that. And hopefully we'll be, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, we'll be back on. I'm working on a couple of different people, Pauline Peter Macias, big fight coming up at LFA, and Amber the Bully Brown, who both of them I got to call their matches at King of the Cage, and they're fighting for LFA. So hopefully we can get them on in a couple of weeks. Mike, a million thank yous for coming on. Appreciate your input. And, of course, Mason, better known as Pumpkin Spice, who is the gear collector and at many shows and stuff and always comes and gives his input, because I don't think there's been a show that you and I have gone to without Mason. Has there been, Mike? Leonardo shows, but that was back in the day. So we have to take him to one of those. And then he'll see some real wrestling with Mascarita, Demus, and Octagoncito, and those guys. That'll blow the roof off that. But we'll show you. Mason won't even be able to sleep on the way home because he'll be so hyped up after that. Right, Mason?
Yep.
All right. Well, Mason, I'll see you soon. Michael Parks, I'll see you soon. And we'll see everybody right back here. Hopefully not this Sunday, but next Sunday. See you then.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.